This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Ecologic. Coming up, it's 2:30 p.m.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for January 21st, 2022.
When your air and or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Good news. New Jersey is first on the East Coast with improved recycling laws.
Yay. Alex, please introduce yourself.
Sure thing. Hello, everybody. Happy to be here, and thanks for having me. My name is Alex Shulam. I'm the Zero Waste Director for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, affectionately known to some as PIRG. We have PIRGs all over the country at the national level, but also at the state level. So if you know a PIRG in your state, we are somehow related, and we're happy to be working on recycling and waste reduction issues.
Great. And Maura?
Yep. My name is Maura Toomey. I'm the Zero Waste Organizer with Clean Water Action out of our New Jersey office. We have also got offices all over the state, all over the country, and do some national work at the federal level. But in New Jersey, we focus on the local stuff. So I'm here for New Jersey Zero Waste issues.
So, Maura, tell us what is in this bill.
Yeah, so this is a very exciting bill. This kind of comes right on the heels of our other exciting, plastic bag and styrofoam ban. This is our kind of second step, which is placing requirements for a variety of packaging materials for post-consumer recycled content. And those percentages are going to increase over time so that, you know, manufacturers will be required to use more recycled material in their products over time. And so this applies to rigid plastic containers, plastic beverage containers, plastic bags, plastic trash bags, as well as paper bags and glass containers.
Alex, are there other laws like this across the country?
Sorry, what was that?
I was asking if there were other laws across the country like this.
Yes. So California was the first state to embrace the post-consumer recycled content policy. And then we've also got a Washington law, and then different versions of laws that are impact recycling and are geared towards improving recycling, but New Jersey is the next one to actually do the post-consumer recycled content requirement kind of avenue. And something I forgot to mention before was it also bans styrofoam packing peanuts. So that's a great step as well.
So, Alex, what does this mean on the national level? The New Jersey bill is so historic. It is different, but what does it mean for a national level? What can we bring to other states?
Yeah, well, I think Mara mentioned how this bill is similar to bills that were introduced and passed in California and Washington, but New Jersey is the first on the East Coast to do this. And so what I think you'll see is New Jersey historically has been a leader. Mara mentioned the bills that passed last year to ban single-use plastic shopping bags and styrofoam food containers. And so now New Jersey is leading again with minimum recycled content mandates. So what I expect to see and what I hope to see is other states, particularly neighboring states, maybe New York, other states in Northeast, take up the mantle and more or less copy what New Jersey is doing. We're excited about this because, as I'm sure a lot of listeners know, making plastic means drilling for fossil fuels, making paper products means cutting down trees. And when you mandate that those products be made with the minimum amount of recycled content, you're really helping with all that resource extraction up front. And so, you know, hopefully at some point in the near future, we'll see enough states adopt these kind of policies that we get a federal standard. And that would be, you know, that's the end goal.
Sounds
well,
like a good...
feel like we're doing something good when we recycle at home, but historically, that recycling hasn't really been reused as much, has it?
Yeah, for a while, our recycling rates and the recycling markets have been in quite a disarray. Part of it due to us putting lots of things in our recycling stream that are not recyclable. So we tend to contaminate our recycling streams to the point where many of our former markets overseas have refused to take them anymore. And so the result of that was, you know, recyclers not having a market for the materials that they're collecting. And in many cases, you know, in New Jersey, it's the law to recycle. It's mandated by law. And so towns are kind of left with not knowing what to do with the materials, and instead of earning money for the amount that they collect, which in the past they do, they're actually having to pay more to get rid of it. So this law is really great because it helps establish those stronger end markets for the materials so that recyclers can actually have a place to send them to the manufacturers who, you know, are going to be needing those materials to create these new products with post-consumer recycled content in them. Then also it's good for municipalities because, once again, they'll be able to earn money from the recycling programs rather than have to spend money finding a market for it. So very exciting.
How is this related to bottle bills?
So I could talk a bit about that. And then, Alex, if you want to chime in. New Jersey doesn't have a bottle bill currently, One of the benefits of having something like a bottle bill is that it ensures a cleaner stream of materials so that it's easier for recyclers to sift through all of that and make sure it's getting to a market where they can actually use the materials. So bottle bills do help with that, and that's something that we're going to have to look into, how we're improving our stream so that manufacturers can have access to kind of the clean post-consumer recycled material.
That brings a question. I know that there's a term, single stream and dual stream. Could you explain what's involved in both?
Yeah, so single stream is what some municipalities do, and it's, you know, based on whatever contract they have with their, you know, company that does their hauling. But, you know, it was kind of pushed as, oh, it's easy. People, you know, more people will do recycling if it's single stream. It means putting everything all in one bucket, all of the materials. Other towns have dual stream where you have to separate out the different materials. And we found that it's much better when there's more separation early on in the process, because you get a much cleaner stream of materials going to recyclers and then, you know, consequently going to the manufacturers who are repurposing the material.
Yeah, I think you can almost think of a bottle bill as an artificial single stream of its own, if that makes sense. Yeah
people tend to think of recycling in terms of plastic, but we know that there's bottles and cardboard and paper and textiles. So, Alex, tell us more about the bottle bills around the country and everything else.
Yeah, so everything else.
Tell us everything.
So currently, 10 states have bottle bills. New York is one of them. New Jersey is not. Mara talked about how bottle bills can help recycling, and I think you could say the same about minimum recycled content helping bottle bills, and I'll tell you what I mean. So bottlers right now, especially as we see more minimum recycled content laws passed, hopefully in the near future, that'll put pressure on bottle manufacturers and manufacturers of other products as well, but especially beverage container manufacturers, to meet those requirements. To meet those requirements, you need recycled cans, recycled bottles to then basically incorporate into new bottles. What's the best way to get a clean, separated, high-value stream of beverage containers to recycle back into new beverage containers? A bottle bill. And it's not even close. States that have bottle bills have much, much higher redemption rates because consumers are incentivized to return them, to get their deposit back. Like Mara mentioned, it's a separate stream, so you don't have contamination issues. And so at a certain point, I think states that don't currently have bottle bills will feel pressure to consider adopting bottle bills. Beverage manufacturers have historically been opposed to them in the past, but I think there's going to be a squeeze coming up where, in order to meet some of these recycled content goals, it'll be clear that more bottle bills across the country will be needed. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. New Jersey might be one of those states considering that in the next few years. I hope so. We'll see.
Will this cut down on overpackaging? You know, where they have a product inside with a piece of plastic inside with another piece of plastic inside of, you know, and it's just ridiculous. They don't need all those layers, do they?
Well, I would say, you know, this law only applies to these specific packaging materials, so it's not going to go away right away, but it is a step towards that redesign of products that we need, and we need to do more of. And so I hope that it prompts more thought of plastics reduction in packaging overall as we take further steps.
So these recycling laws are not an end. It's like one step in many. Yeah, Alex, I see you nodding.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think hopefully what these minimum recycled content laws may help set up, and to your point, Ken, about redesign, something we're excited about called producer responsibility, We've seen a couple states adopt producer responsibility laws, and I think others, including New Jersey, could be considering them in the near future.
What's that mean?
The idea is, simply put, you and I, all of the listeners on the show, pay for the cost of waste management. Whether it's directly to a private hauler or through property taxes, we pay for the bins, we pay for the trucks, we pay for the sorting facilities. The companies that make our products, especially the ones that are disposable and take up a lot of volume in our bins, don't pay for that at all. And I think, you know, we could all agree that that's maybe a little bit unfair. And so that's really kind of the impetus for producer responsibility, that the companies making particularly the most wasteful packaging should be covering some of that cost, not just the cost of waste management, but the cost of cleanup, because their products often end up polluting the environment. And so that's what we're seeing, producer responsibility laws. One of the exciting elements of a good producer responsibility law, too, is that not only are the makers of our wasteful products paying into this, but they're paying based on how good or bad their product is, or how recyclable or non-recyclable it is. So if you are making, to your point, Ken, a product that's wrapped in three layers of plastic packaging, then you are going to be penalized more for that than if you're making something in a reusable packaging or compostable or highly recyclable packaging. And what we are hoping is that over time, people who make stuff are going to be incentivized to make more recyclable and less wasteful products. That's the dream. And I think consumers are starting to realize, we can do as much as we can to try to recycle and put things in the right bin, but we are in a tough position. You go shopping, and it's hard to find things that aren't wrapped in 3-4 layers of plastic packaging.
Yeah.
Ultimately, there has to be a systems change, and so we're excited about that.
You know, this is such good information, and you, the listener, are hearing this now because WBAI is transmitting over the airwaves. It is our audience's support of the Transmitter Tower Fund that makes this possible. Everyone, please keep going to www.towerfund.wbai.org.
We need you.
A little muffled. You can support us by calling 212-209-2950 or going to www.towerfund.wbai.org and making a donation today.
Now, with only three states...
Alex mentioned that, you know, it's difficult for us consumers. Is there something we can do to push these laws forward? I guess especially in the states that don't have one yet.
Yeah, well, I'd be excited to hear what Mara says, too, and I imagine we'd say similar things. Reach out to your representatives. Reach out to your decision makers. Reach out to the makers of products, of stuff that you don't like. You know, everyone has, customer service lines. Speak out, get involved, look up organizations that are doing this work, like the Purge, like Clean Water Action, and you'll probably find more direct ways to get involved, either supporting the organizations or, you know, through direct action pages. Organizations like ours are here to provide resources to folks like you that want to get involved. So we're happy to do that.
Do you mean state representatives or national representatives?
Both.
Yeah. I would add you can start even more locally than the state level. I know that at least with the New Jersey plastic bag and styrofoam ban last year, a lot of our efforts prior to that were focused on the local level. So it's always start in your own town is a good place to start.
Wow.
Right, well, in the last few minutes that we have on this shortened version of Ecologic, what is the most important thing that you would like our listeners to know, Alex?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I think it would be a variation of what we just spoke to, that, you know, don't put it on yourself as a consumer to try to fix the problem. Sure, you know, try to be a conscious shopper, but the best thing that we can all do is get involved in the bigger picture. You know, we're going to need systems change. We're going to need the decision makers, the corporate leaders, the elected officials to really, you know, let's think of ourselves not just as consumers, but as citizens, as voters. And yeah, that would be my recommendation.
And Maura?
Yeah, I would say, in addition to all of those wonderful points that Alex said, that, you know, recycling and improving our recycling is just the next step, and there's many more to follow. Ultimately, we really need to stop producing the unnecessary plastics to begin with and really embrace a zero waste perspective. Because ultimately, you know, these plastics are derived from fossil fuels, you know, driving more extraction, hurting our planet, our climate, you know, as well as the plastic that's entering our waterways. So really embracing a zero waste perspective from start to finish, from extraction to, you know, disposal is really the way to go.
Regular listeners may remember that we have had guests on who do zero waste so well that for an entire year they'll have one bag of garbage. It can be done. And what Maura and is doing with Clean Water Action, what Alex is doing with USPIRG, is part of getting to that.
Now, as usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up. I'm sorry, everybody, but thanks for joining us. For more information, you can find Alex Truelove. Yes, that is his name, girls, boys. Alex Truelove at USPIRG.org. That's www.uspirg.org. And Maura Toomey at www.cleanwateraction.org.
Mainstream media won't give you all this information. Their corporate profit interests will never broadcast the details that Alex and today. That's why Ecologic and WBAI are so important. We need to exist.
And thanks to you, WBAI is catching up on our rent for the transmitter tower. But we need to get ahead so BAI can concentrate on bringing you important news, information, and entertainment.
Donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. So go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. We need everybody. We need you. Towerfund.wbai.org.
You can even donate in the name of Ecologic. Radio might seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you. Help keep us on the air. Call 212-209-2950 or go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
And tune in early next Friday, July 28th at 2 p.m. We're on from 2 to 3 p.m. next week for our Tower Fund special with great content reviewing and updating last year's big stories.
To get environmental news on a variety of topics such as ways to reduce plastic use and to listen to the show again and any of our past shows, go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference, people like Maura Toomey and Alex Truelove. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. We want to hear from you. Those of you on social media, please search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday at 2 p.m. for our one-hour Tower Fund special with great content reviewing and updating last year's big stories. Again, it's next Friday. It's going to be a 2 to 3 p.m. show.
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met for talks in Geneva today amid mounting fears that Russia could be about to invade Ukraine. No major breakthroughs were made, but both diplomats said they were open to further dialogue. Speaking afterward, Blinken said that Washington is committed to, quote, a united, swift, and severe response if Moscow commits further aggression against Ukraine. A series of Saudi-led airstrikes in Yemen yesterday killed or wounded scores of detainees at a Houthi-run prison and destroyed a telecom center connecting Yemen to the Internet. Doctors Without Borders counted 200 wounded, while Save the Children counted 70 killed. A jury of 12 and 6 alternatives has been finalized in the federal trial of 3 former Minneapolis police officers accused of violating George Floyd's civil rights during a deadly 2020 arrest. The men are charged with not intervening when former officer Derek Chauvin kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes during the May 25, 2020 arrest and not providing him with medical attention. The jurors and alternates include 10 women and 8 men. The Associated Press says one juror and one alternate appear to be of Asian descent, while the others appear to be white. New York Representative Jamal Bowman was arrested yesterday during a nonviolent direct action near the Capitol building, according to his office. Capitol Police said in a Twitter post that they arrested 24 demonstrators blocking an entrance on the north side of the complex. The protest came just hours after Democrats failed to advance voting rights bills past a Republican filibuster. Bowman's arrest is one of many arrests of black lawmakers during demonstrations this year. Texas Representative Al Green was arrested in August, protesting outside the Supreme Court, while Representatives Sheila Jackson Lee and Hank Johnson were arrested in July in separate protests. Trump campaign officials led by Rudy Giuliani oversaw efforts following the 2020 election, according to CNN. 3 sources with direct knowledge of the schemes said there were multiple planning calls between Trump campaign officials and GOP state operatives, and that Giuliani participated in at least one call. One source said the Trump campaign circulated drafts of fake certificates that were ultimately sent, declaring that Trump won 7 states that he actually lost. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is facing backlash after footage of him saying that black Americans vote, quote, in just as high a percentage as Americans, went viral. He made the remark at a news conference when he was asked about the concerns that people of color have about voting rights. McConnell's remark came the same day that he led a filibuster to block voting rights legislation that civil rights leaders say is vital to protecting democracy. Federal agencies are being directed to raise the minimum wages for government employees to $15 an hour, according to new guidance issued today from the Office of Personnel Management. The higher wage will impact 70,000 workers, mainly from the Defense Department, Department of Agriculture, and Department of Veterans Affairs. The new guidance excludes the Postal Service and comes as a record number of states and cities will increase their minimum wage rates in 2022, with many exceeding $15. According to a report from the National Employment Law Project, the national minimum wage is now $7.25 an hour. Currently in Washington, it's partly sunny and 27 degrees. In New York, it's sunny and 19. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington.